Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Let's go next to Jeff Greenfield, co-host of PBS's Need to Know and columnist for Yahoo News. Hi, Jeff. Another morning after.
Indeed.
And, you know, we could start in so many places. Before the news, I was ticking off some of the results from the exit polls. And let me go back to a few that I mentioned because they go by so quickly and just get your take on this load of stuff. Remember that Gallup poll 2 weeks ago that said Romney had caught up among women? Obama won women by 12 points. Remember all that noise about the Romney surge after the first debate? Obama won voters who decided in October. You know that conventional wisdom that late deciders break for challengers? 6% of the electorate decided in the last 3 days, and Obama won them by 6 points. You want to start with that little sack of numbers?
Yeah, what it means is that a lot of the assertions that are made about politics, and I guess it's true in other fields like finance and sports and others, just aren't backed up by reality. The late deciders breaking against the incumbent, if that was ever true, it wasn't true in 2004. There are a lot of elections where that's not true. And I'm getting at a more fundamental point, which is, I think one of the things that we learned this year was that the data boys have become our new algorithmic overlords. It really is now possible to look at massive amounts of information, crunch them in a way that we never could do before the dawn of computer power, and actually understand why voters vote the way they do. There were an awful lot of people in this election. They tended to be on the right, in other elections they've been on the left, who wrote, you know, I can feel the undertow moving. I can feel, it's like, what's the song, you know, I feel the earth move under my feet.
Yeah.
I've got these vibes, and I know I can feel the country coming to this understanding.
But forget the vibes, forget the gut, because Nate Silver knows the real numbers and he's always going to be right.
Well, it's Nate Silver knowing the people who gather the numbers, and it's the two books that I read just before this election. One I reviewed, and the other I just read because I wanted to. Was Nate Silver's book, *The Signal and the Noise*, and Sasha Isenberg's book, *The Victory Lab*, which, if you had read it, would have explained exactly what the Obama campaign had been doing the last 4 years, in a way so much more sophisticated than, all right, let's go in the African American neighborhoods,
uh-huh.
Let's call people who subscribe to the New Republic, or dare uh-huh. I say, listen to NPR.
Give me an example.
Okay, if you look, by the way, at Isenberg's piece in Slate magazine, you'll get it in a much more specific area. But for instance, the idea of knowing how to get people who unsubscribed after 2008 to the Obama various websites and communication systems and get them back.
Very specific.
How you find people who, for instance, have, this goes back to 2008, undecided voters with teenagers in the home tended to be more likely to vote for Obama, so let's do advertising on video games. And that's just a tiny example. It turns out that all the assertions that the skeptics were making, no, we can't have a turnout that's really 38 Democratic, 30. That's ridiculous. We'll never have 2008 again. That's exactly what the turnout was in 2012. And it just speaks to the notion that so much of what is bloviated in campaign talk and the cable fests just isn't related to reality. And as you know, I got into politics because I was told there'd be no math, and this is not entirely encouraging to me, but I think you got to face the facts. We're in a world now where we know or can know so much more about what voters do, why they do it, why they vote or don't vote, that I think it's going to take an awful lot of this almost sounds like a North Korean term, Brian, re-education for many of us to understand really how the political process works.
And in North Korean terms, the way our politics is going, we may need a demilitarized zone somewhere in the country soon. Anthony and Hawthorne, you're on WNYC. Hello.
That is so true about that zone that we're going to need, because it just seems like more divided. It was just when Barack was elected, back when he first was elected, he was it was more of a celebration, it seemed like, all across the country. It seemed like even the people that were against him were kind of like, well, this is historic. But now it just seems like we're so split down the middle. It's just really sad. And I think we're just divide and conquer. That's what the people, the other countries outside are looking at. It's like, this is good for the country that we're so divided. It's just sad, and I just don't see how it's going to ever change. Is there a person out there that can just bring everybody together?
No.
I don't think there is.
Anthony, thank you. And I think a lot of people share his sadness today, Jeff, and I don't know if it's about a person who can bring them together or something else.
Yeah, look, I think what this election demonstrated, and in this, look, in this case, it demonstrated or should have to the more conservative folks. After 1988, when the Democrats had lost their third straight election, you did actually have somebody who at least said to the Democrats, you know what, I'm talking about Bill Clinton, we're losing because, and this is a direct quote, because the people trust us neither with their safety nor their money. And it fell to Bill Clinton to challenge the Democratic Party on some of its liberal orthodoxies. Now, I don't know. I just refuse to play the who's going to run in 2016 game because it would make me, you know, mental. But clearly, even this morning, you're seeing people within the Republican Party saying to their conservative base, you are going to continue taking us down the road to defeat if you think you can appeal to the country the way you have been. Once again, just below the presidential level, at least two candidates that the Republican base nominated in Indiana and in Missouri lost races that it would have been impossible for the Republicans to lose. And you had a third Republican, Olympia Snow, who was certain to be reelected, leave her Senate job in Maine because she said, "I just can't handle, you know, the food fight anymore." Now, whether that's Jeb Bush, whether it's a Marco Rubio, I have no idea.
And the Daily Show, speaking of making you mental, was covering Jeb Bush versus Hillary Clinton last night. I don't know if you noticed that.
No, I was doing the ABC Yahoo feed and blessedly didn't. I had to make the noise rather than watch it.
Let's take another call. Phil in Queens. You're on WNYC. Hi, Phil. Phil, you
hey,
there?
Hey, Brian. This is a very sad day for lots of Americans, as I'm sure lots of people on the other side were very sad when Bush got reelected. The difference is, and all polls aside, I think Romney lost because the media, including Candy Crowley. And other people, CBS just a couple of days ago revealed that, I think it was September 15th, that the president, in a part of an interview that wasn't aired, said something about, you know, he doesn't know if it's terrorists. So there's been a lot of obfuscation at a minimum, and many people on the right, including me, feel that there's been a deliberate politicalization. And I think a lot of it's, you know, well-intentioned by people like you. You know, I'm a big fan of yours. But I think people say, look, he promised to cut the debt in half, and he doubled it. He promised to bring unemployment down, and he doubled it. We're very unhappy, and I think the one person who can change things, if Obama rises to the occasion and becomes a great uniter, despite his leftist political leanings so far and his intentions for things like cap and trade, which will destroy the middle class, if he modifies Obamacare, he has a chance to be Lincoln.
What about what Jeff Greenfield was just saying about the Republican Party and some of the trends, you know, beyond whatever you think about the media's role, the demographic trends, other things like that, that make it look like the Republican Party has to do some soul searching right now to remain relevant in national elections? What do you think about that?
I think that's absolutely true. But I think that let's look at demographics. As young people become older, they become more conservative. As new immigrants, like Mexicans, you know, especially if they're mainstream and become citizens, become more prosperous, they will become more conservative too.
And Phil, I'm gonna leave it there. Jeff Greenfield, you want to react to Phil at all? And you know, one of the things that we'll talk about more later in the show with another guest is the fact that Asian Americans, who are growing in age and becoming more numerous and becoming more prosperous, They went from giving Obama a 27-point margin 4 years ago to a 49-point margin. 74% of Asian Americans, who you would think demographically compare to whites in many of the respects mm-hmm. that the caller mentioned, 74% voted for Obama.
Yep. Without going into all of the points that the caller made about the media and the like, I've carried with me for the last year and a half a line from a speech that Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels made to the Conservative Political Action Committee, that big conservative Woodstock that happens every year. And he said to them, in terms of civility and in terms of appeal to people, he said, look, not everybody listens to Rush and to Sean. And he said, if we want people to vote for us, wouldn't it be helpful if they liked us? That speech did not go over that well to these conservatives. But the reason, I mean, it should not. Yes, I've heard for years that, for instance, Hispanic Americans are, you know, can be culturally conservative, they're entrepreneurial. But when you run a primary campaign where you basically say we really hope we can get these people out of the country, I mean, that's what it sounds like. And you can't then turn around and say, you know, si habla español, I love empanadas, and then you're going to get the Hispanic
right.
vote. I think you're absolutely right. Asian Americans, let me be very blunt about this, are often called, you know, the modern-day successor to Jewish immigrants in that kind of entrepreneurial spirit, you know, the work, the study, the read, all of that. But there's a sense among the Republican Party, among some of its people, particularly when you have to go through some of those early primaries. I'm going to be very blunt with you, Brian. Going to Iowa and South Carolina is not a place where you can preach comprehensive immigration reform mm-hmm. and cultural diversity. It's just not that's not where it's at. And then you can't turn around and say, we love everybody.
We got a break in 30 seconds, and we're going to go on to more guests and more calls. But on that point, I hear that one of the big thrusts for policy that Obama's going to do early on as a result of this election is comprehensive immigration reform, because now he knows he's got the Republicans back on their heels on the Latino issue. Think
and
that's
Marco,
right?
Yeah. Marco Rubio, who sat down with a few of us a couple of weeks ago, is clearly looking to make some kind of an agreement with Obama that they can get this done, because interesting fact that Ron Brownstein cites all the time, every month 50,000 Hispanics turn 18 and are eligible to vote. And that is the light at the end of the tunnel for the Republicans in this issue is the train coming down the tracks aimed right at them.
And it's going to be in Texas, and it's going to be in Arizona, which are going to be swing states in a few elections.
And maybe Texas.
We go on from there. Jeff Greenfield,
yeah, right.
Co-host of PBS's Need to Know and columnist for Yahoo News. Thank you for waking up early to give us a few minutes today. Thank you.
Okay, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More in a minute.